Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. The opening of chapter 27 segues with the previous one and relates another occasion in the early days of Jehoiakim's reign. In the first two verses, Yirmiyahu relates, Bereshit Mamlechet Jehoiakim ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda Haya Adavar Hazeh Yirmiyahu Me'et Hashem Lemor Koh Amar Hashem Elai עשה לך מוסרות ומוטות ונתתם על צוואריך. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, king of Yehuda, came this word to Yirmiyahu from Hashem. Thus said Hashem to me, make for yourselves reins and bars and put them upon your neck. It would seem that this message was intended for Yirmiyahu alone, who was directed to fashion a yoke for himself fastened with leather straps and wear it as a symbolic act representing the subjugation of Judea to the domination of Nebuchadnezzar. However, the word lemor is not in lieu of a quotation mark, as Malbim so pointedly indicates. For then we would not need the statement ko amar Hashem. Instead, it comes to direct the prophet to use the yoke on his neck as a prop, a visual symbol, to draw the listener's attention and accentuate the verbal message that should follow. Then, quite abruptly, Yirmiyahu is directed to explain the meaning of the symbolism of the yoke on his neck to the emissaries from the surrounding nations who have come to confer with Tzidkiyahu in Yerushalayim, and not Jehoiakim. We read in verse 3, send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the children of Ammon, and to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who are now arriving in Jerusalem to Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda. This entire scene is confounding. Was this message intended for Jehoiakim or for Tzidkiyahu, who ruled over a decade later? And what was Yirmiyahu supposed to send to the kings via the emissaries? Was he supposed to send yokes and reins, like the one he wore for many years, according to Chazal? Try to imagine how he looked, walking around Jerusalem with a yoke on his neck. Did the people mock him and think him mad? To comprehend the difficulties these verses pose, we need to recap the chain of monarchs ruling in the kingdom of Yehuda during Yirmiyahu's tumultuous lifetime. After Yoshiyahu's death on the battlefield at Megiddo, his son Jehoahaz was coronated, but ruled a mere 3 months before Israel was overrun by the Egyptians, whose empire extended from the Euphrates to the Nile. He was taken captive and exiled to Egypt, where he died at the age of 24. Paro Necho appointed his older brother Jehoiakim, who was pro-Egyptian, and made him their vassal ruler of Judea. 4 years later, the Babylonians defeated the Egyptian army at Carchemish, which is a town near the Euphrates, and managed to push the Egyptian presence out of Mesopotamia. Though Yirmiyahu forewarned him, Jehoiakim did not believe that the new Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, would soon march onto Syria and Israel. According to Radak, Yirmiyahu was foretold that Babylonia would rise as the new superpower to replace Egypt. He advised Jehoiakim not to rely on his Egyptian sponsors and to submit to the forthcoming invasion. Jehoiakim, however, considered Yirmiyahu to be either delusional or traitorous. By the 5th or 6th year of his reign, the Babylonians attacked, and Jehoiakim was forced to pay heavy tribute to the new masters, who threatened to destroy him and his country. burdened with punishing taxes imposed by the new overlords, Jehoiakim soon conspired to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, only to be taken captive and killed, ending 11 years of his rule. He clearly ignored Yirmiyahu's prophecy. His 18-year-old son, Jehoiachin, was crowned. But after 3 months, the Babylonians took him hostage to Babylonia along with the royal family and the Judean elites. Much of the gold and silver from the palace and the Beit HaMikdash was looted at that time. Then the Babylonians installed Tzidkiyahu as their vassal and appointed him to rule and collect taxes from the Jews as well as from the neighboring nations for the Babylonian coffers. It did not take too long for these oppressed and impoverished peoples to plot a rebellion against the empire. It is against this background that Yirmiyahu was sent again to warn the Gentile leaders who had come to Jerusalem to conspire with Tzidkiyahu not to go forth with their plans of rebellion. He speaks in the name of Hashem, the God of Israel, while wearing his yoke, as we read in verses 5 and 6. Anochi asiti et haaretz, et haadam, ve'et habeima, asher al pnei haaretz, bekochi hagadol uvizroi hanetuya, unetatiha la'asher yashar be'enai. ועתה, אנוכי נתתי את כל הארצות האלה ביד נבוכדנצר, מלך בבל, עבדי, וגם את חיית השדה נתתי לו, לעובדו. I alone made the earth, the human, and the animals that are on it, with my great power and outstretched arm. And I give it to anyone I please. Now I will give all these countries into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia, my servant. I will even make the wild animals subject to him. Rashi notes that Hashem refers to the Babylonian king as my servant, because he will serve as God's cudgel with which he will strike the Jews who had betrayed the covenant and had sunk into decadent immorality. Nebuchadnezzar is certainly not motivated by a desire to fulfill Hashem's will, and therefore his comeuppance will surely come at the end of 70 years. But in the meantime, Yirmiyahu, who was appointed to serve as Navi Lagoyim, as well as Hashem's messengers to the Jews, warns these emissaries that have come to confer with Tzidkiyahu in verse 8. If, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with a sword, famine, and plague, declares Hashem, until I destroy them by his hand. Then he warns the emissaries. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums or your sorcerers who tell you, you will not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you far from your lands. I, meaning Hashem, will banish you, and you will perish. But if any nation will bow its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let that nation remain in its own land to till it and to live there, declares Hashem. Then in verses 12 to 14, Yirmiyahu explains that he had already conveyed the same prophecy to Tzidkiyahu. למה תמותו אתה ועמך בחרב, ברעב ובדבר, כאשר דיבר השם אל הגוי אשר לא יעבוד את מלך בבל? ואל תשמעו אל דברי הנביאים האומרים אליכם לאמור לא תעבדו את מלך בבל, כי שקר הם ניבאים לכם. Why will you and your people die by the sword, famine, and plague with which Hashem has decreed for any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? So do not listen to the words of the prophets who say to you, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they are prophesying lies to you. Abba ben El clarifies that Tzidkiyahu had already overheard this prophecy when his brother Jehoiakim sat on the throne. He had witnessed the disaster that befell his brother when he defied the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, and then had seen his nephew, the royal court, and the entire palace guard taken in chains to exile. He had seen Yirmiyahu walking with a yoke on his neck near the gates of the palace. And though Yirmiyahu repeated the warning to him directly, Tzidkiyahu continued to close his eyes, his ears, and his mind, and repeated the mistakes of his predecessors as he heeded the advice of his treacherous advisors. The so-called prophets had assured the people and the Kohanim that the vessels looted by the Babylonian armies would soon be retrieved. Therefore, Yirmiyahu addresses the people at the Temple Mount. Kol amar Hashem, al tishmeu el divrei nevi'echem hanibim lachem lemor, hinei klei beit Hashem mushavim mibavel la'atam mehera, ki sheker hem nibim lachem, al tishmeu lehem, ivdu et melech bavel v'chiu, lama tihyeh ha'ir hazot chareva. Then I said to the priests and all these people, this is what Hashem says. Do not listen to the prophets who say very soon now the articles from Hashem's house will be brought back from Babylon. They're prophesying lies to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and you will live. Why should this city become a ruin? As a Kohen himself, Yirmiyahu must have been heartbroken to see the important vessels of the Beit HaMikdash taken along with the elites of Yerushalayim. So he adds, but if they are prophets, and if the word of Hashem is with them, let them now make intercession that the vessels which are left in the house of Hashem and in the house of Yehuda and in Yerushalayim don't go to Babylon. Perhaps sincere prayer can avert the decree which Yirmiyahu must reluctantly and bitterly convey at the end of this chapter. Ki ko amar Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael al hakelim hanotarim beit Hashem uveit melech Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Bavela yuvahu ושמה יהיו עד יום פוקדי אותם, נאום השם. For so said Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, about the vessels that remained in the house of Hashem and in the palace of the king of Yehuda and in Yerushalayim. They too will be taken to Babylon, and there they will remain until the day I come for them, declares Hashem. A large part of the gold, silver, and gems looted by Nebuchadnezzar and his troops before and during the destruction of Beit HaMikdash were never restored. Many of the treasures had already been stolen by the wicked kings before the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, either to pay tribute to their imperial overlords or by the kings for their own nefarious purposes and avodah zarah. Some of the important pieces were hidden. There is a tradition that the Aron Kodesh, which could not be replaced, was hidden in some subterranean archive by Yoshiyahu because the prophets told him that Beit HaMikdash would soon be destroyed. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.